today. Okay, so now where do markets go next? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. We're on the latest post covering finance and broad news. This is our weekly market update where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and then in Australia, and we cover crypto and commodities along the way. Superficially, since the start of the year, global stocks, as measured by the MSCI index, are up a healthy 4.67%, while the European Stock 600 is up 8.2% and the ASX 200 in Sydney is up 3.68%. But of course, this does not really tell the tale of markets significantly disrupted by the Trump tariff initiative, designed to recraft markets and economies, while the risk of stagflation still looms large, especially in the world's largest economy. The Financial Times reported late in New York's trading day that the EU and US officials appear to have broken through their trade impasse with an exchange of negotiating documents. This builds on the US and UK reaching an agreement and the US and China deciding to defuse their tariff war. But JP Morgan Chief Executive Jamie Dimon said on Bloomberg the temporary peace deal does not reduce the uncertainties that predated Trump's return to the White House, and they are symptoms of a fracturing and realigning world. War in Ukraine, terrorism in the Middle East, Iran, huge deficits, the tariffs, the reaction of countries to tariffs. These are uncertainties. You can't eliminate them because you want to, he said. Underscoring how difficult it is to make economic forecasts in these highly uncertain times, this week threw up some big data surprises. Unexpectedly strong UK GDP growth for the first quarter, weaker than expected GDP in Japan, and the steepest fall in US producer prices since 2009, a fall in manufacturing output, and a slowdown in retail sales. Actually, the seismic shifts in the global order, which started a long time before Donald Trump returned to the White House, are far from over. The coming months are likely to be extremely volatile as trade deals are hammered out. Trump's love of decidedly non-diplomatic negotiating tactics, the ambic claim, the promise of mercy, the tough love, the sudden reversals and the big back down means the potential for markets to whipsaw and even retest the lows of early April should not be disregarded. So I think the speed at which economists raise their growth forecasts on the detente and the scale of the rally across financial markets was pretty remarkable, considering the damage from tariffs has yet to be felt and the amount of uncertainty that is still hanging out there. Still, markets brushed all of that aside and ended a remarkable week on a strong footing. The Nasdaq rallied 7%, that's a two-month high, and is up 30% since April the 7th. The Dow's rebound means it's recouped its Liberation Day losses and is now flat for the year. And the S&P 500 rose for a fifth consecutive session, extending its year-to-date advance after having tumbled briefly into a bear market earlier in the year. The index gained 5.3% across the week. From the S&P 500's last all-time high on February the 19th to its recent low on April the 8th, the 30 largest stocks lost around $6.3 trillion in market cap, according to Bespoke Investment. The rest of the S&P 500 only lost around $4.2 trillion. Since then, that April low, the 30 largest stocks have gained back $4.8 trillion, while the remaining stocks on the index gained about $3.5 trillion. So on a combined basis, S&P 500 stocks lost $10.6 trillion during the sell-off, and they've gained back around $8.3 trillion through to Thursday's close. The volatility index was down 3.3% to 1724, and that's a new one-month low. Nvidia was a key winner in President Donald Trump's Middle East tour, during which Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates each secured Trump's approval to buy US computer chips in a new artificial intelligence push. Nvidia, which, while just modestly higher during the final session of the week, that has recouped close to $1 trillion in market cap from its earlier lows. The stock has now advanced around 44% from an April low and is less than 6% from where it closed on January 24th. That was the day before the emergence of DeepSeek's R1 model sparked fears that cheaper AI development would hurt sales, sending Nvidia and other technology stocks tumbling. Nvidia shares rose as much as 1.1% on Friday. Wall Street remains almost uniformly positive on the stock, as 87% of the analysts tracked by Bloomberg recommended buying, and it trades about 20% below the average analyst price target, making for the second highest implied return among Magnificent Seven stocks behind Alphabet. But then, Moody's, late on Friday, about an hour after the market closed in New York, downgraded the US credit rating by one notch to AA1, citing increasingly high US government debt and rising interest costs. They said successive US administrations and Congress have failed to agree on measures to reverse the trend of large annual fiscal deficits and growing interest costs. We do not believe that material multi-year reductions in mandatory spending and deficits will result from current fiscal proposals under consideration. Standard & Poor's downgraded the US in 2011, and Fitch followed suit in 2023. At least $9.3 trillion of federal debt is slated to mature and roll over within a year, in addition to the around $2 trillion US that the Treasury will need to issue over the next year to cover the federal deficit. That's according to the Peterson Foundation. According to Trump and Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, tariffs are about reducing America's account deficit by rebalancing trade and reducing its budget deficit by raising revenue from tariffs, which of course are taxes. Not only is the revenue generated by tariffs going to be much lower than Trump's original tariff agenda suggests, but the big, beautiful bill Trump is trying to get through Congress to deliver on his promised tax cuts suggests that America's budget deficit is going to stay above 6%, not retreat to the 3% level that Trump and Bessent were aiming for. America's problem is that the greater the amount of money a country owes to the rest of the world, the more difficult it is to borrow more money, BCA researchers said. The bond market will force prudence on America, and this fiscal prudence will force the US dollar lower, creating an exodus from US assets. This is underway and will continue. Treasury yields were higher across the week, with the 10-year at 4.482 and the 2-year at 3.997, and the DXY was at 101.10 against the basket of currencies. Gold, often used as a safe store of value in times of political and financial uncertainty, has fallen around 10% from a record high of just over around at $3,500 US announced in April, as a de-escalation in US-China trade tensions punctured momentum. But analysts are sticking with a bullish outlook due to strong underlying support for the metal. The futures were last at $3,207.05. We're seeing that the geopolitical environment is becoming less turbulent globally and less trade aggression from the US, which is moving investors away from the safe haven gold and increasing risk appetite in the market, said Ricardo Evangelisca, senior analyst of brokerage firm Active Trades. The inflow into physically backed gold exchange-traded funds in April, though, was the largest since March 2022, with China-listed funds leading the move, according to data from the World Gold Council. And China's central bank added gold to its reserves in April for the sixth straight month, according to official data from the People's Bank of China. Oil prices traded higher on Friday, on course for a second consecutive weekly gain due to easing US-China trade tensions. Brent futures was up 1.3% to $65.38 a barrel, and US West Texas Intermediate crude futures was up 1.41% to $62.48 a barrel on a surge in the week after the US and China agreed to the 90-day pause on their trade war, during which both sides would sharply lower trade duties. European equity indices closed higher on Friday, ending a week that was dominated by the US-China trade deal. Ended on a positive note, the DAX in Germany climbed 0.4%, having hit a new high this week. The CAC 40 in France also gained 0.4%, while the FTSE in London rose 0.6%. The main European indices have posted healthy gains this week, bolstered by the news at the start of the week of the trade deal between China and the US, the two largest economies in the world. Trade agreement has prompted Barclays to revise upward its US growth forecast, the bank said in a note released late on Thursday. It now expects the US economy to grow 0.5% this year and 1.6% next year, up from previous forecasts of a fall of 0.3% and a rise of 1.5% respectively. The bank no longer expects the US economy to slip into recession later this year. Reduced uncertainty and an improved economic backdrop also led Barclays to lift its euro area growth expectations. It now forecasts flat economic growth this year compared to a 0.2% contraction previously. Barclays still expects a technical eurozone recession in the second half of 2025, but with growth contracting by less than previously forecast. Overall, we remain downbeat about the growth outlook in the euro area because uncertainty remains very elevated and the negotiations on reciprocal tariffs between European Union and the US remain at technical level and there are no signs of real progress, Barclays said in the note. The European Central Bank has cut interest rates 7 times in the past year and is widely expected to continue this cycle at its next meeting in early June. But that said, Governing Council member Martin Keises said in an interview with CNBC earlier on Friday that the ECB's interest rates were relatively close to the terminal rate if inflation stays within range. The euro-US dollar traded at 1.1164, benefiting from the weakness of the dollar. The pound-US dollar was at 1.3278, helped by data released on Thursday that showed that the British economy grew much more strongly than expected in the first quarter of 2025. Next Monday sees the UK-EU summit, the first since Brexit. More discussion about UK-EU alignment should help the pound, said ING. But one to watch as the world celebrated the deal between the US and China is that the British government announced that it would sign something called the Mansion House Accord with the nation's pension funds. The idea sounds innocent enough, perhaps. The government wants to unlock up to £50 billion worth of investments for British businesses and major infrastructure projects. It's all voluntary for now, but reports suggest the government could introduce reserve powers to force the funds to commit to British projects. In a stinging editorial, The Times of London raised the obvious question, how could funds justify investing in lower return investments at home if there were better options abroad? It urged Chancellor Rachel Reeves not to bully pension funds into breaching their fiduciary duties. She spies an ocean of unrealised potential, a reservoir of wealth to drive the growth her cash-strapped government cannot finance, the paper thundered. There is just one problem. It's not hers. Reeves' move goes much further than the attempts by various Australian governments of both persuasions to tap into the nation's superannuation honeypot. But this is more than just a warning for Australian savings on the danger of hard-up governments getting their hands on our cash. It's no coincidence that the Mansion House Accord was struck during a time of upheaval when globalisation is in reverse, nationalism, populism and inequality are rising and heavily indebted governments are scrambling to provide solutions. Britain's pension deal, which follows similar agreements in Canada, Norway and the European Union, is a further reminder that capital flows are being fractured as global pools of savings and investments are diverted to local causes rather than finding the best return. Most Asian stocks moved in the flat to low range on Friday, with Japanese markets under pressure from substantially weaker than expected GDP data, while steep losses in Alibaba pulled down Hong Kong's Hang Seng. Regional markets took mixed cues from a middling overnight close on Wall Street as tech stocks ran out of steam and as other sectors took little support from weaker than expected economic prints. In Japan, the Nikkei 225 index shed 0.5%, while the Topix was down 0.3%, after gross domestic product data showed Japan's economy shrank more than expected in the first quarter, shrinking at an annualized rate of 0.7%, marking its first decline in a year. The contraction exceeded the anticipated 0.2% decline and was driven by a 0.6% drop in exports and flat consumer spending, reflecting the impact of US tariffs and global trade uncertainties. The US dollar Japanese yen traded 0.3% lower, 145.64, though the soft GDP data drove up bets that the Bank of Japan will have less headroom to keep raising interest rates, keeping local monetary conditions more accommodative. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index was the worst performer in Asia on Friday, losing more than 1%. The index was pressurized chiefly by a 5% plus drop in Alibaba Group after the e-commerce giant clocked softer than expected revenue for the March quarter. Alibaba's cloud earnings, which are tied to its artificial intelligence ambitions, also missed estimates. Alibaba rival JD.com fell 2% as the e-commerce giant's earnings raised concerns over sluggish consumer spending in China, which has been tied closely to disinflation in the country. Mainland Chinese markets also retreated. The Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and the Shanghai Composite Index both fell down 0.4% and 0.3% respectively. Still, the Hong Kong and Chinese indices had rallied sharply on the US and China trade agreement, but this rally petered out as investors sought a more permanent solution. Tariffs between the two countries will still remain relatively high, of course. The outlook for China's economy is, quote, lukewarm, even after a recent trade agreement with the US, according to analysts at BCA Research. Global trade is still set to contract in the second half of this year, even as US President Donald Trump walks away from high tariffs. The hit from policy uncertainty to global business confidence has already been substantial, they wrote in the note. Companies are likely to reduce expenditures, the analyst flagged, adding that any recent spike in US goods orders from China represents a front-loading of demand from later this year. Even before the tariff strife, Beijing had already been grappling with tepid consumer spending activity and a protracted property market crisis. Officials reacted by rolling out fresh stimulus measures, and some observers have said more support may be required to help prop up growth, especially with tariff headwinds looming. Broader Asian markets mostly headed lower on Friday, but were set for weekly gains nevertheless. South Korea's KOSPI was flat, while India's Nifty 50 slid slightly on Friday after the index rallied to near seven-month highs for this week. The Australian share market ended the week on a three-month high after economic data in both Australia and the US helped cement expectations that central banks are gearing up to cut rates. The ASX 200 rose 0.6% to 8,343.7 at the closing bell, securing its eighth day of gains. The benchmark index rose 1.4% across the week and is now around 3% off its February the 14th high. Seven industry sectors were in the green, with real estate stocks leading the advance. The All Ords also rose 0.6%. Bond traders shrugged off Thursday's surprise jump in employment and are still betting the Reserve Bank of Australia will cut the cash rate by a quarter of a percentage point on Tuesday, although the half point has disappeared now. Rate-sensitive real estate stocks rallied, with Goodman Group up 2.9% to $31.82 and Vicinity Centres rising 2.2% to $2.34. Profit-taking hit Commonwealth Bank after the shares earlier touched a fresh record high of $172.91, the stock was down 0.1%, closing $169.66. And Macquarie was last at $211.25, having climbed from its recent $170 levels. Miners also buoyed the index, with gold stocks shrugging off a reversal in prices of the precious metal. Evolution Mining and Newmont Corporation both jumped 3.6%, closing at $7.87 and $77.42, respectively. Iron ore heavyweights rallied, with BHP up 1.4% to $39.72, while iron ore in Singapore was at $99.70. In corporate news, Dexus fell 1.1% to $7.23 after the board of Australia Pacific Airport Corporation alleged the company had breached confidentiality arrangements, which, if upheld, could force Dexus to sell its stake in Melbourne Airport. Appen leapt 18.7% to $1.46 after unveiling its full-year revenue target of between $235 and $260 million. And Dicker Data closed 1.4% lower at $8.49, just minutes before the company announced co-founder and chief executive David Dicker was stepping back from the business. And Insurance Australia Group slipped 2.8% to $8.65 after UBS downgraded the stock to neutral. The Aussie was at 64.03 cents against the US dollar and 48.23 against the UK pound. Finally, in crypto, Bitcoin was holding above $100,000 US, despite gold's pullback recently, once again showing that it's its own market rather than just following along for the ride. As expected, opinion remains varied as to where the price will go next. While Bitcoin is up more than 10% year to date and was last at $103,050. Ethereum is down 25%, again suggesting not all cryptos are equal, to stand at $2,481.7. So standing back, I don't think that we are through the worst of the volatility. Sure, markets, which remain stretched in PE terms, could go higher, but given the noise from the data flows and the high levels of uncertainty, markets could also be facing into future falls ahead. So this is perhaps a time to buy some downside protection while seeking upside, but carefully. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.